The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. You're listening to the Gunslinger Hour, brought to you from behind the Iron Curtain in Radio Free California. Slingers right here on KRLA.
Where
very little works.
Are we anywhere else?
Yeah, well, now you sound like you're in a cave. Let's try that again.
I'm a bat cave.
Okay, hello there.
Yeah.
Hello.
So, Kevin, his microphone ain't working. Facebook ain't working. Rumble working. And YouTube isn't working. So welcome to the hell that is my life.
If you will look to the west, we'll be sending signals.
Yep, okay. Hey, welcome to Gunslingers, where all we do is bitch.
Anyway, we're good at it, though.
Well, do what you do best, right?
You got to do what you love.
Okay, so anyway, this has been a week. I'm a little tired, so if I sound cranky...
No way!
Yeah, right? Okay, let me just start with my week from this. Okay, Monday, da-da-da-da-da. This is my day off. Now, keep in mind, you know, this is my day off, so I'm only doing... You know, three quarters of a day's work.
Mm-hmm.
I get a call from the Azusa shop. Guess who's there? The Department of Justice.
Welcome.
They have decided to give us a spot audit. Woohoo. This is usually, you know, a 3 or 4 day nightmare, and it pretty much was as usual.
Surprise.
Now, we got through it with flying colors. The lady actually, believe it or don't, because you know, DOJ, including right here, has gotten a bad rap for a long time because usually the inspectors that they send out don't help you. They're there to seemingly trip you up and try and screw you over.
Trying to find the problem.
But the lady that came out this week was quite...
helpful, nice.
You know, she was helpful. She was nice, pleasant. You know, we got through with flying colors. As I said, everything went very well. So, you know, no problems. Until...
Until, oh
yeah,
yeah,
until
wait.
We got right to the very end. And then we had two of probably the stupidest problems you'll ever hear, ever. Okay. Number one, apparently, and now keep in mind, I've been in business 26 years. About 12 years ago, they had all FFLs in California go to this DOJ meeting where you literally sat down in a little like schoolroom kind of deal, and you watched a slideshow that they read to you. Then you got up and went to three different little areas, and you had to, with a dummy round, you had to load a double action revolver, a single action revolver, and a semi-automatic.
Wait, who is this that had to do this?
Me and all others, and all other FFL holders that were there. And it took about 45. It took me longer to get there than the class. And once I was done, of course, you know, again, double action means you pull the trigger, the hammer goes back, and it goes boom. Mm-hmm. Single action, you have to cock the hammer, pull the trigger, and then it goes boom.
Think of a conventional double action revolver.
Yeah, and a semi-auto. Of course, you put one in the magazine, you put the magazine in the gun, you rack the slide, and so you had to show that you could competently load and unload all three guns.
Give me just a moment. To whom were you demonstrating this competence?
DOJ employees.
And who had been in the game for how much longer than you? That's where I'm going.
Yeah,
well, thank you. Well, anyway,
here's the worst part. More than half the class couldn't get it done.
Wow.
Well, then, you know what kills me?
Hmm.
Then maybe.
Yeah. Another story for another day.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then they gave me this certificate. It's an instructor certificate. Well, okay,
wow.
So I got this thing, and I got to renew it like every 5 years.
Is that on your resume?
No, but mine is renewed. We're fine. But apparently, you have to have one for everybody.
Whoa!
In the shop.
So, and we didn't. And since I'm not in the shop, we are now not allowed to release. Now, thankfully, our friend Bill Murphy with firearms training and associates is one of the people that gives the class. And I sent Johnny and Andy to the class, and they got it done. You know, it was a 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, whatever the heck it was. And so now they've got it. And but of course, you know, as soon as Andy got back, he forwarded all the stuff to DOJ, and it takes, you ready for this? 4 to 7 days to put his name on a printed certificate and email it back to us. So we're waiting for that. So now I have to work all day tomorrow in Azusa.
Whoa.
Just for that. Now, that's one thing. And stupid, yes. Annoying, yes. Can we live through it? Of course.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that kills me. Now, again, the folks that have been listening for a long time, A, thank you. But B, in case you don't know, I have four boys. My oldest son, Jeff, is 42 years old, and he's severely autistic. He runs at about a two-year-old level. He can't really, you know, read. He can't really write. He can't really talk. He can do other things, mm-hmm. but these are things, and because both me and the wife work, Jeffrey has to go with me because he can't go to her work, so he goes with me everywhere. So when he comes, you know, when I go to work in Orange, he goes with me to Orange.
Sure does.
He took over my office. Thank you, Jeffrey.
I love seeing him there.
And, you know, he's got a nice big screen TV, and he brings a bunch of different games, and he plays games, and he sweeps, and, you know, and he does things that he's capable of doing. Now, one of the things he's not capable of doing is A, reading, writing, C, using a computer, D, doing fingerprinting, mm-hmm. the things that you have to do to get a certificate of eligibility, which you now have to have to be behind the counter of any gun shop. So I was told by DOJ that he cannot sit in the back of my store, behind a wall, behind a door, back in the corner with his little TV. In my office. He is not allowed to be there. Yes, it is.
You've got to be kidding me.
I am not kidding you at all. Have you ever heard of such a stupid thing? And yes, we are looking and talking to attorneys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we are going to burn this down, crumple it up, and shove it up somebody's you-know-what.
Yeah, what a ridiculous request, especially because does that mean that—
It's not a request, Jimmy. This was a mandate.
It's demand,
she
yes.
said, yeah.
So she says, did she have any suggestions?
No.
Of course not.
Yeah, and unfortunately, because we had to go, well, you know, you went early in the week to the SHOT Show, Jimmy and I went to the Antique Show, and we will get into that after we have Rick on from the CRPA in the next, oh my gosh, Richard, hang on, we'll get to you. I completely, real quick, because we can kind of flub on the first one. Let's get to Richard at the airport. Richard, I went a little long, sorry. Go ahead, what can we do for you?
Good evening, you magnificent pop gun slingers.
Thank you, sir. What can we do for you?
Evening.
I want to know, what is the advantage of a shoulder stock made of wire instead of wood?
Wait. That's the only advantage. And now, the disadvantages.
Kind of a disadvantage.
Yeah, disadvantages are about a half mile long. They're uncomfortable. They hurt.
They're very flimsy.
Yeah, they don't work worth a damn. So there's not very many good things about
them. Who makes a good collapsible stock? You know, the first one is Uzi, right?
Well, oh, yeah. Well, which I haven't, you know, we haven't had here in 24 years now.
That's right.
At least. Later 90s. Right?
January 1st, 2000.
Some side folders are decent, but yeah, I can't think of a wire stock that more than eye candy.
They're not really very good. And Richard, I just got the 1 minute sign, so you got a joke for us tonight?
Okay, yeah. A sophisticated firearm may have a magazine. What about a child's firearm?
That would be a comic book. Did I get it?
You guys are...
All right, very good. Richard, thanks. And sorry to cut you so short. We'll get you better next week.
Absolutely.
Right? Oh, there he goes. Okay. All right, you're listening to a pissed off gunslinger.
Here we go.
K-R-L-A. We're going to be right back.
Yeah, we will.
Oh, and call in. Hey.
Let me love.
Hey, Jeff from Gunslinger's Gun Shop and Auctions in Azusa and the City of Orange. I believe in the Second Amendment, and I believe every American has the right to protect themselves and their family. I also believe in gun safety and getting the best possible advice on firearms. If you want to buy or sell pistols or rifles or purchase ammo and supplies, Gunslingers is the place to go. My staff and I have decades of experience and knowledge. We'll give you great advice on your firearms and informed insights on what firearms to purchase. Plus, Gunslingers has huge gun auctions several times a year. Our next auction is on February 17th, where you can bid on outstanding pistols, rifles, art, collectibles, in person, online, by phone, or with absentee bids. Go to gunslingerauctions.com to learn more. For hours, directions, and info on firearms, ammo, and our next big auction on February 17th, go to gunslingerauctions.com. Gunslinger Gun Shop in Azusa and the City of Orange, gunslingerauctions.com. That's gunslingerauctions.com.
With the heartbreak open, so much you can't hide.
Oh, yeah, I love
put
this.
On a little makeup, makeup. Make sure they get your good side, good side.
I love that, man.
He was so cool.
Yeah, definitely.
If you disagree, please
like
call him.
Other than that, anyway, welcome back to the Gunslingers, where everything's a little verklempt tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We're short a guy, and Kevin's trying to
running
do 50
back
things
and
at
forth.
Once. And apparently not everything is working correctly. Is any of the Facebook or Rumble or...
Facebook and Rumble are both up. I don't know if YouTube's back up yet, but I hear we're having... Yeah.
Is it working? No.
Okay, well, and I guess that we're not getting any phone audio on the Facebook,
calls.
On the calls right now. So just in case you don't hear it yet, just give us a minute. We'll get everything up and running for you.
Because, you know, if it wasn't for absolutely completely screwing things up, what would the show be?
Yeah, right.
All right, let's get to our friend Rick at the CRPA. Rick, how are you?
Good. I'll try not to screw anything up.
Oh,
thank you kindly.
You're doing your best to make everything right. So.
But that's so odd to us. Anyway.
Wow.
Not that you screw them up, though. Everything
your grammar is exceptional.
Yeah. Okay, so a couple things. we have some more dead bills, so that's good.
Yeah.
Yay. So the big things are, you know, obviously we killed the firearms insurance. I think we may be able to hold that off for hopefully another year or so.
Jeez.
And then we had some that were, you know, basically firearms purchase notices, registries, and some more things against some concealed weapons and another gun-free zone. They're all gone. But, you know, it's Sacramento, so don't get excited because we have new bills.
We'll
new
be
bills.
Back.
But the good news is so far there's only a couple that it looks like we're going to actually come out and oppose. So I'll talk about, 1869, I think I mentioned last week because they had just started to come out. And that's where the city of Hawthorne is trying to do the signs where we can't have any sign that has anything to do with firearms on it. So we're obviously going against that. But then Guido Zinnerman, who's trying to run for Congress down here in Orange County, came out with a new one. And what he's trying to do is, you're going to love this one, Jeff.
Really?
This is to require that the FFLs are inspected by DOJ not once every 3 years, but once every other year. And that they will produce an annual report that will go that tells them every dealership to the legislature what their violations were, any types of issues, handguns, everything, so that they have a report so they can key in on those problem people.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
Wow.
So the rest of them are mostly in the hunting side, and they're ones we're just monitoring right now. We have a couple that we've got to be careful with because they're trying to remove dogs still from the ability for hunters to use dogs, and we're talking mostly right now for upland game and for waterfowl. And if that happens, that will have serious impacts on everybody else because basically what has kept shotguns kind of out of the crosshairs, no pun intended, of the left, the legislature has been hunting, and without dogs, you cannot hunt upland game or waterfowl because you will have one-time waste and then incur legal issues that will prevent you from owning firearms. So that's becoming a big area that we're going to be fighting, and we're still waiting because they're probably going to drop a lot of things here in the next couple of weeks, and we're also waiting to see. We have a couple more two-year bills. We're trying to see if we can get those blocked so they die this year and can't come back at least for a year.
It's so odd for me. I was just at Disneyland a couple weeks ago, and I saw people dragging around their dog all day at Disneyland over the hot cement and just dragging them around here and there. They can put a dog through that all day, but to do a dog, to have it do a job, and that's what they consider that their
bred
job.
For?
Yeah, and for them to consider that, like, they're service dogs, and then there are people that just need a dog around them for some reason, to each their own. But isn't it the kind of the same thing to drag around an animal for your own well-being? If they're going to compare the apples and oranges here, then they got to make a stand on both sides. They can't just.
Well, and here's the thing. A lot of people, just like Jeff, you always say this, a lot of people don't realize what the firearm was designed for. A lot of people do not know what dog breeds were bred for. And so you take America's dog right now, which is current to Labrador Retriever, and you ask most people what were Labrador Retrievers bred for, I'm going to be like, oh, duck dogs.
Yeah. Kind of baked in the name, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Well, most people think it was for cuteness.
But that's not true. Yeah. That's not what they were bred for. Labrador Retrievers were actually bred to help fishermen. They would swim up to 2 miles offshore, grab the nets in inclement weather, and the dogs would pull the nets into the shore where the people could pull the fish up onto the shore. That's what they were bred for. That's what the breed originally did. And then the off season, they found the dogs were good enough that they could get them to go to retrieve their ducks as well. Of course, that became the big seller for a lot of people was, hey, I don't need a fishing dog, I need a duck dog. And that's how Labradors became the duck dog here in the United States. But what they were bred for and still do to this day is swim out in the ocean and bring stuff back. And that's why, you know, every once in a while you get a lab that's a really good swimmer. The one I have right now,
yeah.
Rocky is an incredible swimmer. And there were times that I thought I was going to have to swim halfway to Catalina again back because he's like, oh, there's land. I'm going that way.
So they went from a much more difficult job to a less horrendous job. And even still, people are like, no, that's too much.
Yeah. So, people they just don't understand. That's part of what we do at CRP is educate people, get out there and form coalitions. And it's been a busy week. I know it's been a busy week for you, Jeff. We've been up at the International Sportsman's Expo. We had parts of our staff at SHOT Show meeting with different people here in California, trying to get people more engaged, especially some of the bigger companies, in fighting the fight here. And then we were also at the Bart Hall Show here in Long Beach that just finished up today. So been kind of all over the state doing stuff.
Yeah. You're the only guy I know that is as busy as me. And let's face it,
I know it would be in competition with you, though, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Oh no! Well, and let's face it, both of us are too damn old to be working as hard.
So, and then, we're also looking at over here in the next couple of weeks, the shotgun season for the kids starts to narrow down its focus, and we start to get to see the cream of the crop rise to the top. So, very excited about that because we have some incredible female shotgun shooters and male shotgun shooters, but this year's crew of girls statewide is impressive. We're talking often what separates the top 10 are not even a full clay. It's just like they're having to get really technical now because they just had a shoot-off up in Northern California, 250 clays until one of the girls finally dropped one.
Whoa. That's a long day.
That's some insanely good shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just a different level of game. Anybody that's went out there and shot, clays, like, that, wow.
Not an easy sport, part. Period.
Yeah. So, very proud of the girls. So, they're doing good.
Yeah, big hand for them.
Well, anything else, Rick?
No, that's it, guys.
Okay.
Gee.
Well, I mean, it's not like that's not a ton, but I'm just...
That right?
Yeah. I was sitting there thinking... Quite a bit, Jeff. Okay.
Yeah. No. Not my point.
Good to hear the representation all at all these different shows and all. It's good to see that CRPA is out there again with their feet on the ground, and hopefully you guys got a lot of people to listen to you and join the cause. We need more of it here.
Yeah, and we got a lot of people working on their elections in their different areas, and hope to have some updates for you guys on that next week. So
that would be very, very important. But here you are on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
Right? Doing your due diligence and duty, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the fight's 24-7, and you got to be there 24-7.
And it never stops. Boy. Rick, if anybody wants to donate their time, their money, join, how do they get a hold of you?
CRPA.org. And if they have any questions, they can reach out to us at contact@CRPA.org. And continue to support this radio station and everything that Gunslingers is doing because you guys are out there on the front line helping us to push the envelope. And We're so appreciative of that.
Well, and also let's talk about our sister station, which is AM 590, The Answer, in which you have a show.
Yep. Yeah, we're on Saturday afternoons at 1 o'clock, and we go in-depth on legislative issues. That's primarily our focus, and on the law cases. And so we have a little bit more time, and so we go into it a little deeper, and we have some guests to talk about different aspects of that.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
I think that about covers it.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys.
Okay, thanks, Rick.
Be safe.
Talk to you later.
Thank you. Yeah.
So don't forget to. Yeah, don't forget.
So you get your taste of the CRPA here. If you need a little refill and all that, make sure you join Rick over
there. Saturdays at 1 on 590 a.m.
And there are local branches just about everywhere within driving distance.
Absolutely.
Look them up, join them.
Okay, so now we go, well, we were live, but now we go to live phone calls. So you guys want to call in, you got questions about guns, you got questions about paperwork, you got questions about, I don't know, whatever the hell.
Yeah, auctions. We had a couple questions about auctions already, so if you have any of these questions, call us in at 866-870-5752 one more time. That's going to be 866-870-5752.
Okay, and what we're going to talk about in the next segment between phone calls is, well, we'll cover show first, yeah, because, again...
You got some stories.
We ran into a whole bunch of real nice folks, and we got a lot of people that were very interested in coming on the show. Ian McCallum was one of them.
Yep.
That's Forgotten Arms.
This is
one of the bigger YouTube presences. Yeah.
This guy has like 2 million followers on YouTube.
Nice guy,
and then,
nice guy.
And then Larry Potterfield, who said he would love to come on, too.
And what does Larry Potterfield do? This is important.
He owns this itty-bitty little company called Midway USA.
Midway Sporting USA. Goods, firearms, reloading, just like everything.
Yeah, plus two.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy... This is major league. Yeah, these guys cover everything. And I talked to him...
a few times, actually. He passed by a few times. And
he's so approachable.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, he came by on the one side, and I asked him to be on the show, and he said, sure, and I got all his info. And then when he went around to the other side and saw all the, you know, the 8-gauge and all the stuff for coming up auction, he was just knocked out, and we had a good time with
him. So if you want to see a picture of it, I think you put it up on your Facebook. You got a picture of both of you together. It was real nice.
Yeah, well, it's on the Gunslinger.
Gunslinger Radio show.
And, of course, if are all three working now, Kevin?
No, I think we're both up on...
Okay, well, apparently...
YouTube's still down.
YouTube's still down.
We don't know why.
Yeah. Anybody YouTuber out there, you know how to make this crap work?
Well, if we get Ian McCullen on, then he can tell us exactly what to do.
Maybe that's what we need to do. All right, you're listening to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And you know what? We'll be right back.
Yeah, we will.
I know when to stay in, get things done. I catch the paper boy, but things don't really change. I'm standing in the rain, but I never wait by my. But I try.
Still nailing some notes there, brother.
I try.
Yeah, but I can't do the whole song anymore. Welcome back to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
Okay, and as promised, we will get to phone calls. Again, number
one more time. It's going to be 866-870-5752. That's 866-870-KRLA.
But the gun world last week is huge, because what you do is Tuesday through, I think, Thursday is the SHOT Show, which is the biggest gun convention in the United States, which has to be
in the world.
So Mark attended that.
This is representing Gunslingers, and this is pretty much Christmas for firearms. All the new products are rolled out on Monday. If you're a media, you go out there and you shoot those sorts of things. And then it's just the expose of all these wonderful new firearms. Now, a couple of things I want to make a point. Number one, normally for the last several years, it's been AR-15 Fest, right?
Yeah.
And so it was just wall after wall after wall. I didn't realize there were so many things you could do with an AR-15. But it was not so
like a
this
hamster
year.
Habit trail.
It is absolutely. You go through these all these halls, hall after hall after hall after.
How many variations on a theme? But it was not so this year. There was a real move. I mean, there are plenty of AR-15s present. Lots of new hunting gear. A big move in the direction of optics. Optics are getting really, really good, really, really inexpensive. Move in the direction of red dots. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who are over 50, both of you guys one day will find out that your eyesight is no longer quite as sharp as it was, and things like red dot sights are really, really useful. Well, pistol after pistol after pistol is coming out with them. A lot of compact concealed firearms. The CCW movement continues, as it is in California. A lot of really, really good choices and almost no bad choices out there. But I wanted to talk about a couple of the favorite things that I saw out there. Okay, number one, Winchester is reintroducing the 9422.
Really?
They really, really are.
About now, time.
I'm a big fan of Henry rifles. Mm-hmm. I use them when I instruct. I mean, they're great rifles, great little lever-action rifles, but Henry... Winchester,
yeah.
Henry Winchester, and I happen to have a 9422.
And for those that don't know what this is a lever action that's in 22 caliber that Winchester started ages ago, and then they discontinued, and the Henry Repeating Arms Company basically did the exact same gun, but mostly in aluminum parts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's a little bit lighter, it's a little bit smoother. But it's aluminum as opposed to Winchester,
and
which is
some
on steel.
Steel. Stuff, yeah. Anyway, yeah. So it's a good rifle, and they ate Winchester's lunch because they sell a million of those darn things, and they're good rifles.
And they're about a third the price.
So I was excited to see that. Henry, on the other hand, Henry is making a lever-action carbine.
Saw that.
In 5.56, right? Magazine
wow.
fed. So that's kind of cool. That gets around. When you make a lever-action carbine or a lever-action rifle, because of the way most lever-action rifles are built, that is, they have a tube underneath the barrel where the bullets sit against the nose of the bullet sits against the primer of the cartridge in front of it under spring tension.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an aerodynamically efficient bullet, basically, you've got a point sticking against the primer, which is a recipe for yikes.
Yo.
Yeah.
You put it in a magazine-fed rifle, and all the things we like about lever-action carbines, which is they're light, they're handy, they're reliable.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a very, very interesting rifle. Mm-hmm. I handled it. Wasn't crazy about the stock, but everything else I really, really liked.
Okay. Smart move.
I was really, really pleased to see a lot of movement in 1911s, and I know we don't need any more 1911s, right? incorrect answer, because I'm a huge 1911 fan. The two that I liked, and for those of you that are watching this on Facebook, I'm holding up one of them right now. A U.S.-made Bursa. Now, Bursa is famous in the United States for making what?
The little 380.
The little 380 yeah. semi-automatic pistols, and you can laugh at the calendar at the caliber, but those are nifty little CCW weapons.
Oh, they are.
If you have arthritis or weak hands or something like that, they're a semi-automatic pistol. They're decent, they're accurate, they're reliable, the price point's great. Well, they're making an all-steel, U.S.-made 1911.
Wow.
And the price point was about a grand. I was really, really impressed.
Reasonable.
We went over to Great Lakes. Great Lakes is making an AR-10 in 300 windbag. You remember we had Todd Hodnett, one of the world's best snipers, on the show.
Yep.
And we asked him, if you could have one caliber, what's the best caliber? He said 300 windmag. Well, here's an AR-10 and 300 windmag. And as Jeff pointed out, it's probably a little bit barky. But the recoil operation will assuage
some
of that.
Of it, yeah.
But anyway, I thought that was a really, really great thing. They're also making an all-steel 1911. This thing, the slide was already cut for, were we talking about red dots earlier? The slide was already cut, so you could put a red dot optic on top of that if you so desired. But it was really, really nice to see these. This is out of Sparta, Michigan. This is a family-run operation. It's nice to see people doing that kind of thing.
Did you get by the high-vis sight?
I did.
Did you see the new sight system they're coming out
yes.
with? The hot dot
the little hot dot thing, yes.
Man, I saw that on last week on OL, or the Outdoor Channel, mm-hmm. on Wednesday nights. For those of you that have DirecTV, channel 606, they do what's called Wednesday Night at the Range, and all the shows are gun-related. And it used to be American Shooter with Jim Scouten.
Yes.
And I was, unfortunately,
Jim Scouten.
Yeah, Jim's no longer with us, but his son is doing it. And what the heck is the name of that show? Somebody send it in on one of those.
Please.
On one of the
feet. But anyway, they did a little special on it, and this thing was fantastic. So first thing I did the next day, I tried to get one, and they're not out in the stores yet, damn it.
Yet.
So, yeah. So
what a tease.
First in line.
What a freaking tease.
But anyway, well, real quick, because he's been waiting some time, let's go, get to Don in Culver City. Don, what can we do for you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Oh, you bet.
Thank you, Don.
There's a place I heard about in Camarillo called Camarillo Traders.
Okay.
And I guess some of the guys from Martin Management, Martin B. Redding's, are involved with it. I was wondering if you ever heard of this place.
That's intriguing.
Well, I haven't. Now, what I did hear, because when I heard about Martin B.'s going under, that what happened, there were two brothers that were running it, apparently, and they had decided to retire, and because you can't blame them. I mean,
how long had they been at it?
Forever.
And they're located where?
In Culver City, L.A., and so, you know, with all the stuff, their dad, Martin B. Redding, of course, started the business. He ran it. They worked as kids there and so on, and, they, you know, and they're up there, I think, 60s or 70s, and they just decided to close the store. And then, get this, the city of Culver and some leftists got together, and they offered $6.5 million for that business. The itself, the building, so that another guy couldn't go in there
and reopen a gun store.
Yeah, and now the people are up in arms, no pun intended, because they spent city money to buy this.
Yeah, well, believe me, Culver City, I live in Culver City, and I won't get into the politics about the city council in Culver City.
Yeah.
The other question is, I got into a rather animated discussion with a really good friend of mine, who I keep trying to encourage him to get a firearm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we were talking about self-defense, and he, in a nutshell, he thinks that if somebody was to break into his house and steal something and go running down the street, he should be able to shoot at him.
Nope.
I tried to explain to him, forget about what no one wants to be on your target 3-4 blocks down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, well, what if they steal a firearm? They might be going to sell that or use it. And I said, no, you're not allowed. No, you can't do that.
You are right.
The law. And he says, well, then the law needs to change. They need to change the law. My head was exploding at this point.
Yeah. Well, he's not too far off as far as...
You don't have the right to just randomly take the law into your own hands. And he goes into this whole thing, well, the law's not going to help you and blah, 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 blah. And I was, oh, my God.
Well, both of you are right. And if somebody breaks into your house and they don't even threaten you, you can't shoot them.
Yeah.
If somebody comes in and garnishes or, you know.
Brandishes.
Brandishes. Cooking shells. Something, you know, deadly and goes, oops, you've got a gun, turns around and run. You cannot shoot him.
No.
So you got to be real careful. This is California, and they have more rights as crooks than we have as citizens.
Yep.
And he was talking about specifically like him running down the street.
Yeah.
And I said, you mean like down the sidewalk?
Yeah.
I said, what if you miss?
Yeah.
Well,
it's somebody's all house of it. 4 blocks down the street, or there's somebody standing on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And, he says, a law needs to change. And I'm going, I don't know. It doesn't.
Absolutely legit, but I don't think we're going to legalize shooting at people.
Yeah.
You're a person... I don't want you to have a firearm, I said.
Well, Don, you may have a point there.
Yeah, that mindset.
Anyway, okay, well, thanks for the call.
Before I go, I'm going to say, hey, Brett.
I don't get it.
He calls in every morning in the morning.
Brett from, Brent from L.A.
Yeah.
Oh, and to answer Brent. Your question, the guy... From Martin B's, what I understood was the guy that was like the main guy there opened a shop, but I heard it was going to be an Oxnard and it was going to be internet only. Now that
I'm not sure. I mean, they had some pictures of edged weapons like swords hanging on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Just it looked kind of more like a, I don't know, an antique kind of a.
Okay. Well, honestly, I don't know, but you know what?
Somebody knows.
I hope somebody did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Don, thanks for the call.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Have a great show.
Bye. Thanks. Okay, and that opens up a line at
866-870-5752. One more time, it's going to be 866-870-KRLA.
There you go. Okay, so Mark did the SHOT Show. Yep. Jimmy and I, we did the Vegas Antique Gun Show.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
that's where the big money is.
Oh, boy. There was some serious, serious high-end expensive stuff in there.
A lot of it all over the place.
Yeah. There were firearms of all kinds and types. You know, it's an antique, but there's two different buildings, mm-hmm. and one of them is antiques, and it's all pretty much it's one of two things. It's auction houses like us, mm-hmm. where they're putting out their wares for stuff coming up for auction, and there's guys out there selling antiques. Now, we did both.
Yes, we did.
So, yeah, so what I did is all year from last year, I started squirreling away antique stuff. We get in a big pile of stuff, and we would put it into the back corner. Mark it as pre-98, so ATF or DOJ can't have any problem with it. And then we took about 40-45 total, and we had two tables on each side of the aisle.
Yep.
One side was strictly auction. One side was strictly for sale. And to show you, I know what I'm doing. We literally sold everything.
We
had nothing to bring home except empty cases.
Load coming home. I loved it.
Where else to sell antique firearms than at the Antique Firearms Show?
Antique Show. And do you know, almost everyone that we sold went to a dealer.
Yep.
So
you'll be seeing them again?
They loved me. When we first started putting stuff out, it looked like a piranha fest with a dead
blood
cow
in the water.
In the middle of it. It was insane. The guys were coming from everywhere, and they swooped up all our stuff. Now, we've been collecting over the year. We got stuff like Maynard carbines. This is a Civil War, a single shot. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, piece of junk. But it's a very cool piece of history. We had a Smith carbine. We had a Burnside. Now, these are all Civil War era, burgeoning on beginnings of
that developmental arc in technology.
You know, so a lot of these things are goofy. The Burnside, if you've ever seen the Burnside bullet, it's in two pieces, and the back piece kind of looks like a candle, and it is just the goofiest thing. But all this stuff, because I price things right, man, it went boom, boom, boom. We had two 1886 Winchester first year. Made in 1886, and man, this stuff, and our whole side, I posted pictures of it on the Facebook page, and our whole side, we couldn't say, hey, we sold out, because, you know, it's Facebook, and then somebody will have a conniption.
Stop!
Yeah, but
you look at all this empty table space.
Yeah, we sold out, and everything, it went like crazy, and we had a blast. We went out to, the first night we went to the sports book and had pizza for dinner, and then Friday night, Jimmy, me, and a little Fredo, we went to some little Hawaiian joint.
Hawaiian place.
It was great. It was so just good. Like, when I grew up with a Hawaiian family, the Gay Augustus, and my brother Daryl and everything, and it was just like Moss Cook and Daryl. I don't know if you're listening tonight, but it was absolutely fantastic. I had a great time.
It was like, that was a great meal. It was very authentic. I had way too much. I couldn't stop. I went back for more. But the thing about our tables, we're already going to a break.
Yeah, we are.
We'll talk about it a little bit more when we get back.
All right, you're listening to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
Call us.
866-870-5752. Do it now.
Hey, it's Jeff from Gunslinger's Gun Shop and Auctions again. If you want to buy, sell, or trade a firearm, come to Gunslinger Auctions in Azusa and the City of Orange. We've got fantastic selections of pistols, rifles, high-tech, and military firearms, plus skeet, trap, holsters, ammo by the box, reloading supplies, laser sights, and all the extras you're going to need. If you have a gun collection and you'd like to sell that for a big profit, go to GunslingerAuctions.com. Our staff has decades of experience in appraisals, consignments, antiques, and more, with honesty and unmatched customer service. Our next auction is on February 17th, where you can bid on outstanding pistols, rifles, art, and collectibles in person, online, by phone, or with absentee bids. So if you're buying, selling, or trading a firearm or gun collection, come to Gunslinger's Gun Shops in Azusa and the City of Orange, or visit GunslingerAuctions.com. Learn more about our huge gun auction February 17th at GunslingerAuctions.com. That's GunslingerAuctions.com. Again, GunslingerAuctions.com.
Behavior, turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Great song.
Underrated writing on that
song.
There
was some good stuff in the 80s. There was some good stuff. Welcome back, everybody, to Gunslingers. We lost Eric. Oh, no, he is there. Okay. Let's get to Eric on the phone. We lost somebody else. Eric, what can we do for you?
Hey, guys. Glad you went to the Vegas thing. And I've been there years ago. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine was an engraver, and he showed there at the show. But the thing I called about is I had a little glitch on my CCW thing, and I went to your Alasta store in Azusa Saturday, and they're a great bunch of guys, and this first time there for me at your new location, and it's a wonderful store.
Thank you. I'm glad you came by.
It's really, really great store. They helped me out. I will call you tomorrow at Azusa,
okay.
And because I got some other things I don't want to air over the radio, but I need to clear up some things because I don't want it kicked back by the Orange County Sheriffs.
Sure.
For being not exactly on the.
This was a serial number thing, right?
Well, it's a serial number, but there's a model number that's a discrepancy right now. So I'll call you and talk to you about it tomorrow. Okay. And as far as that goes, great emailing me back and forth and calling the store and getting it all squared away and everything. Thank you for that. The store's great. Another good event, if you ever make it to the Engravers Guild, up in Reno every year, they have a great show.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
It's every high-end gun ever made that's sold at the Engravers Guild.
One of these days, we were just talking
about it before we left Vegas. Mm-hmm. Me and the other guys were talking about Reno would be a good place.
The Engravers Guild are at this one also. There was several engravers. That was in the other room. The other room is really like a sportsman's kind of. A lot of hunting side-by-sides over and under.
Samurai swords.
Bolt action rifles. Yeah,
you hunting samurai with a samurai sword?
And there's probably...
Holland and Purdy and all.
Oh,
all
yeah, the double barrel group.
$200,000, $500,000 guns is there in case sets and, ivory and nickel and gold and you name it.
Absolutely. It's some beautiful stuff to just go in and drool on. Okay.
Oh, man.
Can a firearm be art?
Uh-huh.
Have it in your auction.
I'd love to. Eric, thanks for the call, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, bye.
Take care.
That's a shout out to the local gun stores. How nice it is to go into a store that's not like a big box store. You got people who are knowledgeable, that are friendly, that take the time to deal with your issues.
Yeah.
Walk you through, talk you through, because a lot of people have questions.
And that opens up a line at
866-870-5752. Again, 866-870-5752. That's KRLA.
Now, if you got questions about firearms, you got questions about my auction coming up February 17th, you got questions about paperwork, you've never been in a gun shop and you want to know what to expect or what you should do, give us a call.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of knowledge on the table here, so we'll be able to help anyone out if we have the time. So call in. We have the time right now.
Because we are the number one show of its kind in the world.
You better believe it, baby.
And I don't care what anybody on Facebook says. That's what Leon says, and that's what matters.
Yep. That's the voice of a legend. Whatever he tells me, I'll take as truth.
Some guy on Facebook is not a legend. Leon is a legend. That's what he says. So there you go. Okay. So back to SHOT Show. What else did you
SHOT Show. Well, I know you'll be excited to hear. One of the things we keep saying about the PC carbine that Ruger makes is, boy, wouldn't it be nice to see a 45?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done the PC, but they did the LC carbine. Now, that's the one that feeds through the folding stock one, not in California, that feeds through the grip. And so they have an LC 45 carbine out.
Interesting.
About dang time. I still don't think it's as cool as the PC, and I hope that's forthcoming. But I think that's a good sign.
Now, is it a double stack mag or is it a single?
It's a double stack mag.
Okay. So like a Glock mag?
Oh,
type,
yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So, wonder why they wouldn't put it in a standard
the PC has got to be such a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you have to build it up, you know, 10%, 12%, 14%.
Beef it up a little bit.
Just beef it up.
Oh, yeah.
Beef it up. I'll rock that thing.
That's interesting. But I tell you.
But the LC's there.
Well, and I'm trying to think how the Camp 45 Marlin, I think that's a straight stock, that, and it's fed.
It yes, uses, it is, yeah, and that's a single stack. It uses 1911 mags.
Correct, and yeah, so it's a single stack mag that's
And that's the almost gun, man. Had they just developed a little bit longer, a little bit more.
And I tell you, like I said, there's two versions of this. Now, this is a Marlin that goes back to the 70s, and it's a semi-automatic with a standard straight-type stock, no pistol grip or anything. It's not scary-looking, and it right. doesn't look like an right. AR, so it's not a weapon of mass destruction or anything. But the 9mm took a Smith & Wesson double-stack mag. Now, for those of you that don't know what a double-stack mag is, this is a magazine, when you put the bullets into it, they stagger down to hold more. Now, a straight wall – a straight mag is just that. It's a thinner mag that goes straight down and holds less. A standard 1911 right. is a straight mag, and that would hold 7 or 8.
Which gives you a slightly more slender grip, which as the caliber increases in size mm-hmm. is a bit more important.
Right.
So, but there's lots of cool double stack 45 type magazines now. Oh, they're always going to be bigger than a 9.
But see, that's always a problem. Folks with smaller hands can't really get around right. a 45. For me, like on the Glock 21, which is a 45 yep. ACP, when I shoot one, that corner always catches me in the crook of my thumb, it hurts.
And after a while, it's just digging in.
Yeah, it gets unpleasant. They really
and there's enough recoil.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and they really need to, if they did something like just a little dish right there, I think that would be a...
Fix it, boys, but Glock is not likely to change their design for you. I have a Smith & Wesson M&P 2 in that caliber, which I forget that it's not a 9 sometimes.
Any type of interchangeable backstrap on that on a Glock would be a dream come true.
Oh, but back to my point on the Camp gun. So the Camp 9, they sell for about $1,000. Which is good, you know, because I think they were like $199 new.
Yeah, they're very, very popular.
But when we get a Camp 45,
bang.
Kitty bar the door because everybody's bidding on it, and they can go. I think the most we've ever gotten was $2,600 for one of those
for a Camp 9.
For Camp 45. Yeah,
yeah.
They go through the roof, and people absolutely love them.
Anybody there at Ruger listening? Speaking of Ruger, one of the things that came out of the SHOT Show was we're going to have a very, very exciting 2024 here at Gunslinger Radio. I mean, that's how it's going to be. Can we talk about who we got lined up?
We got a minute or two left.
We're going to have representatives from Ruger. Mm-hmm. Got the business card, got the phone number. They want to talk to Gunslinger.
Get on it.
Got to love that. Dylan, same thing. You got questions about reloading equipment, what's best? Dylan is interested in talking to us.
The Dylan is the only way to reload, in my opinion.
Taylor's. Now, Taylor's is a really interesting company. They make a lot of firearms that we as cowboy action shooters are interested in. And that's an all-female-run company. So that's kind of
really
interesting. Their place in the marketplace is really, really interesting, and they're proud of it, and they do a great job of it, and they're completely unintimidated by their presence. So
love
it's going to be fun
it.
To talk to them. Speaking of the women in the industry, we have lined up Michelle Viscusi. If you don't know who that is, please look her up. She's repping Staccato. Staccato's great.
Oh,
can't get them in L.A.
Love
can't
Staccato.
Get them in California. Staccatos are great. Do you know who Tack Girl Michelle is? Michelle Waldron?
I do not.
She wants to come on the radio show. Please look her up. You'll be very pleased with that. Lena Michalik, who is an up-and-coming Jerry Michalik's daughter and an up-and-coming world-class female shooter.
Hey,
she's sure. excited to be on the show. I love this stuff. Dana Loesch, who is a radio commentator in her own right. She's excited to be coming on a show. You got the big score, though. Who'd you get?
Larry Potterfield.
Larry Potterfield.
And for those of you that don't know, Ian McCallum,
yep.
who is...
Oh, look him up on YouTube right now.
Forgotten Weapons.
Everybody on YouTube looks him up, apparently.
Apparently, yeah.
Because
yeah.
he's got like 2 million followers,
right.
and he is just...
And he wants to come on the show.
And he said he'd love to come on the show.
Yeah, if you don't know how to spell his name, just look up Gun Jesus, and you'll be able to find him.
Well, he's got the beard and the long hair.
Yeah.
Very nice kid. He come walking by, and I stopped him, and I said, hey... Now, we have the big poster up, you know, with the picture, Gunslinger Show, blah, 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 blah. And I go, hey, you look like you want to be on this show, don't you?
And how affable is he?
He went, yeah.
And if I may, this is a gentleman who knows quite a lot. Oh, yeah. About firearms. He knows stuff about the really, really cool stuff.
Yeah, he's a walking encyclopedia of firearms knowledge. And
our boy Fredo said that he learned so much from him, pretty much almost everything he knows about a bunch of the Russian stuff that he really
And
loves.
I was so glad, because last year Fredo fanboyed all over this poor guy, and he followed him around like a puppy, and I think he had him sign his rear end.
Oh, man.
The whole night.
My left side.
Yeah, and this year he just kind of was chilled out about it.
He tried not to wet himself.
Hose that guy down. Nice. Hose him down.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But
so this is SHOT Show and Antique Firearm Show back to back. This mm-hmm. really is Christmas in boy. The firearms world.
Yeah, and for those of you that I've had a lot of people ask me about attendance. Now, as far as vendors, I don't know about SHOT because I didn't go, but as far as vendors, there were much more this year than last year, but a lot of folks weren't there, and I'm really concerned because, see, with antique firearms comes elderly dealers.
Typically. Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of
starting to age out.
There was a lot of talk about some folks that, well, you know,
they're not there this year
because he's no longer with us. And I heard that about five or six times. Mm-hmm. And even the row we were on, the very end, was nobody there.
Yeah, vanished.
Yeah, there. So it was just...
It begs the larger question, who is interested in collecting antique firearms?
Well, and we'll get into that because it was kind of...
It's a fun conversation.
In the next power-packed hour, we'll get into that. All right, hey, you're listening to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
Give us a call.
866-870-5752.
I don't remember the worst of this stuff anymore. And I wasn't in the Breakfast Club. I was kicked out of the Breakfast Club. Welcome back, everybody, to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And this is the time where you guys call in.
That's going to be 866-870-5752. One more time, a little slower for you. 866-870-5752. If you were at the show this weekend, any of the shows this weekend, maybe you saw any of these guys here.
Or last weekend.
We've been kind of busy lately.
Uh-huh.
Call on in. Tell us how your experience was.
Okay, and on that note, let's get to Linda in Burbank. Linda, how are you?
Okay. I don't know if any of you or anyone in the audience has purchased, you know, a gun online. You know, I know I've been preaching, you know, pay cash, but earlier this afternoon, early in the afternoon, I heard that there is an online banking that is pro gun. It'll protect people's privacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
for guns and ammo, and the name of it is called oldglorybanking.com.
Okay, there you go.
Nice.
I heard this earlier on Total Financial Hour. Eric Colby had a guest on. It was a guest that was talking about this.
Okay, well, folks, do your diligence. It's old what?
Old Glory?
Oldglorybanking.com.
Okay. All right, very good. Yeah. Anybody wants to check that out, check it out and give us a call and let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Linda, thanks for the heads up. We'll talk to you next time.
Speaking about some regulars, we saw a regular at the show, Antoinette, who always
Antoinette, she's a caller.
She came in
both nights.
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday.
I missed her on Saturday because as soon as I sold out, I went home.
Yeah, you went out. Yeah, but
what were you going to do?
Well, she was very excited for everything that was going on, you know, or she's a big proprietor of this show and a lot of the other shows on the station.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to make sure that she relayed that Brent also sent his regards and wanted to make sure that we all have a good time.
Well, Brent, if you're listening, give us a call and say hey.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now back to our end, what we did at the antique show. Now, the antique show, what we were talking about is what's happening is – Unfortunately, guys that collect the real high-end antiques, and I'm talking like flintlocks and early percussion and
dueling pistols,
stuff
that sort
like
of
that,
thing.
It's I mean, these aren't firearms. These are pieces of art.
History.
Yeah, and there are so many of them out there, and they're absolutely gorgeous. And unfortunately, the guys that collected them, they're dropping like flies. I mean, and what's happening to that particular collectible is it's coming down in price.
What happens to the market when there's no buyers?
That's my point. And it's just a shame because these things, you know, a lot of the guys there bought them when they were, you know, way up here. And they're trying to get on top of that, yeah. You know, to try and make money on it, of course, because that is the American way. And there's not a lot of stuff selling out there.
No, the market, yeah.
There's another piece of information embedded in that, though. Mm. If you were interested in starting a collection, if you're a younger guy, because these things are, as you said, these really are works of art. Mm-hmm. And they're fabulous pieces of history. So maybe the market opens up for a whole new generation of potential interested buyers.
Yeah, you know, all it would really take is somebody to make a video game shooting flintlocks.
We're talking Red Dead Redemption, right? Another Last of the Mohicans or something.
Yeah, and there was the stuff that I did see moving the most was Civil War and up.
Yeah.
So, you know, Western stuff, still very hot. Colts, Winchesters, Henrys. I saw a couple of Henrys get sold, 66s, 73s, 86s, 92s.
Still a lot of interest in that. There are Western movies, those Red Dead Redemption, things like that. Mm-hmm. So that stuff is kept before the public's eye.
Yeah.
Who's keeping a matched pair of dueling pistols in front of the public?
Yeah, and it's not happening much. Right. And so, unfortunately, that stuff is kind of slowing down, and prices are not
starting
as strong as they were. It's a shame. But
the same thing is true with classic cars, right?
I can't argue. I mean, when I could, I was watching Barrett Jackson, which was happened over the last week also, and our friend Mark Mabry was there. And he was texting me
about what was going.
Yeah, you know, it's like, oh, look at this, you dirty, rotten, you know, I want that car, you know, stuff that was selling a couple of years ago
for crazy money. It's interesting. It's an interesting sociological market because these are typically aspirational vehicles mm-hmm. for somebody when they were young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if when you were young, what was interesting was an
64 GTO.
As opposed to, okay, then you were a particular age at that point in time. You were 13 then,
yeah.
Right? But now if you were 13 in 1994...
You're looking for a Honda...
Or a Suzuki WRX or something.
Yeah.
A Mitsubishi WRX or something.
Yeah.
Evo.
And it's a shame.
And then these classics, they don't, as you said, they don't have a market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although... there was a 63 split window Corvette that sold for $450,000.
Corvettes seem to run against Corvettes, yeah. Ferraris. They run against the grain, right?
Which is killer because I got one.
Good to know.
And about the show and that the antiques are kind of going in this way right now. It almost feels like these art and history pieces are just going to those people that appreciate the art and history of it. And I think what we have to do is kind of reinvigorate that timetable and that piece of art and history into this younger generation. Yeah, you may not be able to shoot all these, but that own a piece of history like mm-hmm. that, own something that was handcrafted in this time period. And you're really walking away with something that you know no one else is really going to have.
Something that fought Napoleon.
Yeah. Yes.
Honestly, you're holding an artifact.
Yeah. Well, yeah, an absolute piece of history. And just think if these things could talk.
Man,
I could tell you.
Man.
We have a
man.
Holland and Holland in there that is from a
1890 or 1880.
Yeah, like a dignitary in Eastern Europe and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, yeah. That one's, I think that's an 1880-something too. Yeah,
and those Holland and Hollands are handcrafted by a single person and all. So let's open it up to not just these were in this battle and that, but these
that's
are
real
pieces
out
of
Africa
of
real stuff,
art.
Isn't it?
Yeah, we have a Holland and Holland Royal Deluxe. It's a 12 gauge, but it's a Paradox. Now, what this is the last 2 inches of the barrel are rifled, so you can shoot a slug out of it, and it will shoot out like a rifled bullet, mm-hmm. or you can shoot a shotgun out of it. And these guns take 5 years to get when you custom order.
How do you make that barrel?
Man, I don't know. They're thick.
Honestly.
And yeah, looking at it, it looks like a beast out of
it. 5 years to get one, and they start at about $150,000. And they custom build this right to you. The comb, you know, where it hits you your in the cheek. Yep. You know, that's custom to you.
Fitted like a suit, baby.
Yeah. I can't think of the in and out where it's curved to fit. I can't remember. It'll come to me when I'm not on air. You know, that is set up for you, and that's the problem with selling that kind of a firearm.
It's made for
It's made for one guy, and when you build a hot rod, say you have a 65 Malibu convertible, like me, and you've decided you want a 350 Chevy with a 350 and a 12 bolt Chevy rear end. That's what you want, and that's what you put in, and it's great. But now I go to sell it. Well, you want an LS3 with a 6.2 with a 5-speed and a 4.9-inch rear end. So you're not going to pay anywhere near what I'm into this mm-hmm. for. And it's a tricky game.
It is. And those Holland & Hollands, even they're still making them today. It takes about five years just to get an appointment with them, and then you have to get it handcrafted to your to your specs, and that's another five on top of that. So you're looking at something that's being handcrafted that it may take 10 years to receive.
Yeah, the one we have, it's so pretty. The man's dog is hand engraved. With his name, which is Rusty, which came out really interesting in the description because it looked like the gun was rusty. And it's like, no, this gun is unfired new. Because unfortunately, the man, right after he finally got it, after all these years of waiting, like 3 weeks later, he passes. And he never.
That's the 5-year wait, right?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, so
some good things are worth the wait, and sometimes you only have them for a bit, right?
All right, we're gonna cut to a break. Mark and Winnetka, we'll get to you as soon as we get back from it. So don't hang up on us. You guys got any questions? Give us a call at
866-870-5752.
Wake up out there! You're not calling. What's
going on? Come on in, guys.
Give us a call. Hey, Jeff from Gunslinger's Gun Shop and Auctions in Azusa and the City of Orange. I believe in the Second Amendment, and I believe every American has the right to protect themselves and their family. I also believe in gun safety and getting the best possible advice on firearms. If you want to buy or sell pistols or rifles or purchase ammo and supplies, Gunslinger's is the place to go. My staff and I have decades of experience and knowledge. We'll give you great advice on your firearms and informed insights on what firearms to purchase. Plus, Gunslinger's has huge gun auctions several times a year. Our next auction is on February 17th, where you can bid on outstanding pistols, rifles, art, collectibles, in person, online, by phone, or with absentee bids. Go to gunslingerauctions.com to learn more for hours, directions, and info on firearms, ammo, and our next big auction on February 17th. Go to gunslingerauctions.com. Gunslinger Gun Shop in Azusa and the City of Orange, gunslingerauctions.com. That's gunslingerauctions.com.
Moving forward, using all my breath, making love to you was never second best.
What a great song, right?
Oh, man. See, there were some real gems, and people like to look down at the 80s.
Yeah, there were some great songs.
Feeling nothing as always, Mission Lace. I'll stop the world and melt with you.
Yeah.
All right, we better stop or we'll get sued. Welcome back to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And as promised, let's get to Mark and Winnetka. Mark, sorry to make you wait so long. What can we do for you?
You guys are worth the wait. You're real patriots.
Thank you.
They're really all hinge on what's legal in California. Just some quick questions here for you. I saw something on the YouTube about a SCR Fight Light chambered in 556-223. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if it's even legal here. It looked pretty sweet. And I've also had a question, maybe I can throw to the other gentleman. I'm looking at a home defense, a Mossberg 590 Shockwave. I'm not sure if that handles legal. I think you would call it a parrot head or something. I'm not a real expert on that.
Well, first off, I could tell you right off the bat, the Shockwave is not legal in California. You cannot have anything less than 18 inches on a shotgun. Mm-hmm. So that gun is, forget about it.
Is there something with that handle on it? We love that. I think you call it a parrot's head. I'm not really
bird's
sure.
Head, whatever the head.
Yeah, the bird's head. Okay, California says got to have an 18-inch barrel, has to be 26 inches overall. If you had an 18-inch barrel on there, I'm pretty sure you're okay with that particular pistol grip. But it's the barrel that gets you.
Yeah, because we've had a few.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was compliant or not. And if it's a little bit longer barrel, I think that's not a hurdle we can't go over. But as far as the SCR, is that even?
That's like an AR with a conventional rifle stock. So you don't have the pistol grip.
If you don't have the pistol grip, then so it should be no problem whatsoever.
Think Ruger.
Like a Mini 14.
Like a Mini 14.
Okay. Yeah. As long as if it doesn't have a pistol grip, what California says you cannot have is a pistol grip, thumb hole stock, or flash hider on a detachable magazine with a center fire. So if you've got anything that has a primer on it, then you cannot have a detachable mag and a pistol grip, a thumb hole stock, or a flash hider. Flash hider. Because some idiot in Excremento, thank you, thought that a flash hider actually hid the flash, which it does not. It actually makes it larger. Mm-hmm. But, of course, you know, everybody in Excremento makes no sense, and they don't do any homework, and they just naturally assume, oh, it's a flash hider. It hides the flash. That means it must be bad.
Unbelievable.
And, yeah, it's not so what it's
but
for.
You can't have a muzzle brake. And the difference between a flash hider and muzzle brake is some guy up in Sacramento deciding this one goes in this bin and this one goes in that bin, honestly.
A muzzle brake actually works better than flash hider. Flash hider was designed so that when you're shooting at night, it disperses the gases, which will, you know, be a flame outside of your point of view.
Your peripheral vision.
Yeah, so that
you can still retain your night.
Yeah,
vision.
So you don't blind yourself shooting at night. That's all it's good for. It does not hide it. It actually makes it larger. But as far as the one you're talking about, that should be no problem whatsoever. The only question would be, are they willing to ship it to California?
Yeah.
I see. Years ago at B&B, I purchased an AR-10. I kind of loved it. Mm-hmm. But I know there's an AR-25 now. Can you comment on whether we can even have it, and if we do, your opinion of the two compared?
Well, AR-25.
I have not heard of an AR-25. Now, the AR-10 is the larger size. The AR-15 is in standard, is in 5.56. Or you get them in like pistol calibers now and such. But an AR-10, that's a larger frame, so therefore you can shoot .308 or
major league calibers.
Yeah,
300 Win Mag.
Yeah, I think it was a Portuguese, not the Sudanese version that I had from them.
The AR-10. And, that's an interesting rifle. So you had one of the originals.
Okay, and they
it was a Stoner.
Yeah. There you go. That should be okay as long as it meets the California requirements, which again are no pistol grip, thumb hole, or flash hider, and it has not been actually named. This goes back to 2000, and remember Gray Davis, that guy? They passed this sweeping legislation in 2000 about so-called assault rifles. Again, assault is an action, not an object, but, you know, it's scary, and it scares people, therefore they named assault rifles. This is a stupidest story ever, but they did all this, and they said that, you know, anything AR is illegal, and you can't have it. Well, of course, CRPA and others got together, and they sued, and they said that that's too vague, so therefore you have to name it by name. And so what they were doing, okay, the Colt AR-15, and then, okay, so Colt said, oh, yeah, well, now it's a Colt AR-16. Okay, well, the Colt AR-16. Oh, yeah, well, now it's Colt AR-17. And they just kept on going. So finally DOJ went, okay, we can't win this. Anything that's already named will stay on the assault weapons ban, and from now on, it can't. You know, it has to meet this, this, and this, and that's where the pistol grip, thumb hole stock, and flash hider thing comes in. So I hope that clears that up.
Easy way around it, Mini 14.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pencils down.
Yeah. Well, thank you, sirs. I appreciate the advice.
Thanks for the call.
And just speaking about the bird's head on a shotgun, I know Chiappa made that. I think it was a lever action. Bird's head on their
on the page. Well, on the 1887, which is the you know, the Governator.
Yeah,
the Terminator 2, baby.
That's how I used to sell that gun. Just show them how to do that. Yeah. No, they'd be like, I have a
couple of different companies made that. I think Black Black Aces was doing that. Yeah.
That's right.
Shut up! Get out of here!
Get down! Get to the chopper!
Oh. Anyway. come with me if you want to live.
Hey, by the way, if you can make an AR-15 slightly larger so that it will withstand the pressure of a .308, for example, I wonder if you could do that with like a Ruger PC-9. Like a little bigger, so you could handle like 45 or 10 millimeter.
When you consider the huge
difference
that would be a thick gun. I'm sure it could be done, but
I'm just after a PC-9 and 45. You can do it. You can do it, guys at Ruger. We'll have, you know what? We're going to get these guys on. Let's put their feet to the fire on that.
Okay. So I brought it up. We talked about the Vaqueros, and you said you saw a couple. Well, I have a theory. Now, you know, Ruger, I said this a few weeks ago, Ruger, like everybody else, is suffering from lack of employees, and so they say that they're not making them enough. But I tell you—
They literally said that.
Yes, and here's my theory. Because cowboy action shooting has taken such a dive—
Graying, aging out.
That why make it? Because this isn't the sport that it was.
True. And they're selling, if you have a limited workforce and you're selling semi-automatic pistols and carbines and things like that, hand over fist, you're going to divert your resources
to where the money is. Yeah, absolutely. So that just tells me that, you know, guys, the in charge of SAS, we need to pick it up.
Yep. Oh, let's talk about some marketing in the near future. I think there's going to be a meeting about that at EOT with some of the major manufacturers as well as the
front
office.
Like everything, including this country, you need a successful business person running or at least advising.
Yeah.
You can't just get guys off the range and say, hey, man, help us. Oh, yeah, okay. It doesn't work.
The heart is great, but the mind needs to work in tandem.
Bingo. So – anyway, that's just my little two cents. And of course, you know, for those of you who don't know, I'm actually fighting with a whole pile of people on Facebook over such a thing. Today, they killed my category at the World Championships because it didn't meet the requirements of enough people. Well, it's a long story and it's stupid. I'm not going to get into it here. But
they basically yanked the carpet off from under
any shooting sport is an entertainment factor.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't entertain, people go somewhere else.
Yep.
And you know, somebody I won't mention names, but posted a long post, you know, about a paragraph and a half about how, you know, you could just get your money back then. And it's like, you know what? I could get my money back. Have you ever been to a restaurant that made you so mad that you said, you know what? I won't be coming back here again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm real close to being at that point. I've been doing this 26 years. And I know others that are feeling the same way.
And killing classes, like we're talking about, is killing the sport because you're not keeping it open to the wide array of shooters that are out there.
You don't have enough shooters in a specific class, then you know what, guys? We're having troubles. We need more shooters.
Yeah.
Not chasing people away.
Yeah, chasing people away is the exact opposite of what we should be doing. Now, I'm not saying, give me the world championship because I shot against three guys. I don't want to do that.
No.
But you need to stop. You need to get rid of some of these classes and combine. When we started, there was
– like four classes. Right?
Yeah, well, there was regular and then there was senior. We didn't have senior, silver senior, super senior, you know, super.
Every 5 years.
Yeah, you know, you need to get rid of this stuff. Just, you know, up to 60 and an over 60.
I mean, you guys are both cowboy action shooters, and you guys are both world champions, and we have a platform here to let people know. And instead of being able to promote how great and awesome the sport is and how open it is, it feels like they're trying to cut you off at the legs right now, and it doesn't help anybody out.
Yep.
It is great. It is awesome. We want to see it improve.
I've been doing it.
We had 46 shooters today.
Yeah.
46 shooters. That's a lot of shooters. And in fact, I want to talk about that.
And folks came all the way from Nevada.
Nevada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's Nevada. I'm sorry. I've been schooled several times. They're on the posse with me. Nevada, for those of you.
It was fun to shoot with them, you know.
Do we have a moment to talk? Because I'm coming up
on
a break.
We got about 1 minute.
Well, it was very, very nice to shoot with the folks who came over the border all the way.
Oh, absolutely.
They shot yesterday at Cajon. They shot today with us. Anyway, really, really fun people. And without going too far into the weeds, because I want to talk about this more when we come back, Sandstone Drifter finished second overall. And Dixie Dawn finished seventh overall and first woman.
Well, who won?
That might have been Frederick Jackson Turner. That might have been.
Which is Mark. Yeah, yeah. He's being so coy over here.
If would you like to know who finished third?
Yeah, I would. Who was that?
You.
Oh, and what do
shooting one-handed. Shooting one-handed. Jeff shoots in what could be or should be the slowest category out there, and he finished freaking third overall. You won a stage.
Did I really?
You won a stage.
Well, I beat Mark on a couple.
Yeah, you did.
I don't want to throw it out there, but I'm throwing it out there. I beat him on a couple.
And as long as we're here and we got the Facebook feed, here is your clean shooter pin. Oh, I said I'd bring it to you. So he shot well, he shot fast, he shot clean, and that ain't easy.
Look at these damn champs that around. Easy. I'm always sitting around a bit of greatness.
You got to come out sometimes.
I do. I watch, man. I just got to put it on paper and I'll be there.
You know, and the Cowboys, you know, formerly the Kodo Cowboys, has been, I think it's oldest club in cowboy action shooting. And folks, if you fourth Sunday of the month at Rahagi's Shooting Center in the beautiful city of Norco, the Beverly Hills of Beverly Hills. And take a look. I'm telling you, you'll come out and you'll absolutely love it, and you'll be back over and over again. I went out because my cousin told me, "Oh, you got to check this out," and I was like, "Yeah, whatever." And I went out, and somebody handed me a gun and said, "Come on up, try it." And they were, "Hey, you know what? You're not too bad at that." And here I am. That was 1997, so actually 27 years ago, and I'm still doing it.
Still doing
if
it.
I may, your performance today demonstrated both the skill which you bring to it and the unerring accuracy, because accuracy is one of your things.
Well, yeah,
there were not a lot of clean shooters.
And when you finish a stage, smile. You're listening to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
We'll be back right after this.
Yes, we will.
Name their other hit. This is the all-time one-hit wonder, here.
Yeah, it's this on both sides of the 45.
But they snuck a banjo into a rock song.
Yeah, works for me. Man, that's up.
Dexy's good. Night Runner.
Welcome back to Gunslingers. Yeah, right on the button. Boom, gone. All right.
Can we do it as spoken word?
Apparently, Facebook is cutting us off because of the we go more than 20 seconds with the song because we have a good time singing with them.
Yeah, we do.
Hey, you know what? We got phone calls lined up. Let's get to Mark in Anaheim. Mark, what can we do for you?
Hello, Gunslinger crew. First, I want to say you guys have great taste in music and tell your music lovers by everything.
Jeff, this is Jeff's playlist, man.
Thank you kindly.
Yeah. All right. So I know, you know, 12 gauge. For home defense, but I'm 58 years old, and you know, shooting a 12 gauge is really starting to hammer my shoulder. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, what are your thoughts on a 20 or a 28 or even a 420 gauge?
You mean a 410?
Or yeah, 410.
Well,
me.
Okay. First off, 410. If you're going to do it, I like 410. Yeah. And 410 because so many different companies make pistols in 410 now. Smith & Wesson, Taurus, and so on. Mm-hmm. They make some pretty damn good...
The duplex loads?
Or? Yeah, they make some real good defensive loads in 410. It's also a very small, very lightweight shotgun. 20 gauge, here's the problem. Most people think, oh, 20 gauge, it's smaller than 12, so... But the powder charge is basically the same.
Oh, yeah.
So getting a 20 gauge, you're usually shooting a smaller gun with the same charge as a 12 gauge.
Just
so
exactly. It's, yeah. And it's in a linear column. You can buy different, if it's a pump gun that you're using, you can buy different ammunition.
Yeah.
Now, semi-automatics have to be fairly hot, and that's where 12 gauge gets its reputation for recoil. But with a pump gun, you're operating the mechanism. You get yourself some Winchester Featherlights or some Federal training rounds. Those things are soft recoiling. Seriously, you won't. You won't notice them at all, and they will still bring the pain.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, for Winchester, it's called the FLA. That's Frederick Larry 8. And
there are sevens. They make 7.5s also.
Do they make 7.5s? And it says right on the box, 50% less noise, 50% less recoil. Remington makes the STS.
Right.
That's Sam Thomas Sam. And they're an excellent round also. That's what I use for cowboy action shooting. And it's a fantastic round. And the recoil is fairly minimal.
You won't believe the difference. Yeah. You won't believe the difference.
So I would try that first. And then if that doesn't suit you, then I would look seriously at some of these 410s.
Yeah.
Great. Who makes the STS again?
Remington.
Remington. Okay. Great. And the FL8 is Winchester.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Thanks for the information.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Mark.
Yeah.
Buy,
I bet.
Okay. Take
buy a box. Try it out.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have that question, especially because they feel that 20 gauge thing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They don't know about the different loads that you can put into
again,
your 12
gauge. Pump gun only.
Yeah. And 12 gauge has. So, because it's the most popular gauge, has so many variations in different types.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Something, you could get something that will seriously drop a charging 1,200-pound grizzly bear, or something like the AA-12 FL8s, something that your grandma could shoot after her church social on a Sunday, comfortably, seriously.
When the missus used to shoot cowboy action shoot, the one thing she absolutely hated was the shotgun, and that's back when I was rolling my own, and I got her some Winchester feather lights, and it became her favorite gun.
Problem gun. What a swing.
What a versatile tool.
Yeah. Well, let's get to Sean in Covina. Sean, he's got questions about shotguns too. What can we do for you?
Oh, actually, I want to defend you, Jeff. Everyone always takes pot shots at you for telling people to rack a shotgun back in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you a personal story and how you're right and everyone's wrong.
Thank you.
Everyone.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Probably in the 90s, and about 94, I was living in a city in a house with a large front yard, and I was living with my brother at the time, and a bunch of gang members decided that them and the girlfriends, that was a nice place to have a wrestling match, and they're wrestling. My brother needed to get some sleep, so he goes to the door, opens it, and outside they're wrestling, making noises, he's saying the F word and everything. He goes, could you please stop this, I need to go to sleep. And there's one guy named Tiny, who's about 300 pounds.
There's always a Tiny.
And he comes charging at the door. What Tiny didn't know, my brother had a shotgun in his other hand, racked it back, and it became a game of freeze tag. Everyone froze.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was like My Fair Lady or Pygmalion. The FUs were changed with, yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
But of course, everyone has an accent.
I picked up all the beer cans. They picked up all the beer cans, and they started going away, and it worked. And we didn't need to call the police. And what's more, whenever they walked past the front lawn, they ran.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Get off my grass.
So, Jeff, you're right.
Thank you.
Jeff now, or believe Jeff later, but you're right. And also that a remark about your son when he was sneaking in the house and you racked back the shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you never know. Maybe he saw something in the Mendez and he's going to try and plot against you. And now he knows that you brought him in the world. You can also take him out.
Make another one look just like him. Yeah. All right, Sean. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Take care. We'll talk to you later.
A bit of that old adage: armed society is a polite society. Yeah. All of a sudden,
and you know, as soon as you racked that, he said, get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Okay.
Iconic, baby.
Let's get to Juan in Pasadena. Juan, what can we do for you?
Good evening, gentlemen. I have a question about a shotgun.
Okay.
About 8 years ago, I bought a Benelli M4 shotgun with a fixed stock, not the collapsible one.
Top of the class.
One, like the Marine Corps has. I bought the fixed stock. And my question is, that's a 5+1 shotgun, and I was thinking about putting an extended mag tube so I can add two more, but I'm not sure if that was legal or not, and I kind of Googled it and looked it up, and I just get more confused because I heard that that could be legal and you could be in violation of federal law.
Well,
so that's my question.
Okay.
Can I add an extension
tube
without...
Does it have a pistol grip on it, or is it a complete straight stock?
It has a pistol grip on it.
Okay. In California, you cannot have more than five in a semi-automatic shotgun with a pistol grip. If you can find a straight stock, then you can put that on there. But if you have a pistol grip on it, it's you know, that dirty A word, assault weapon. That's what it's considered if you have.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because of the features?
Yeah, because of the because of the pistol grip, they consider a semi-automatic shotgun cannot have more than five rounds if it has a pistol grip. If you can get rid of the pistol grip, then you can put the extended mag tube on.
And that stock exists.
Oh, I didn't know that, 'cause, you know, I got confused, and I heard that, well, if you do something like that, certain you have to have so many American parts and so many Italian parts on it, and that's where I totally... Okay, so if it's got a pistol grip, no more than five.
Yeah. All righty.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the call. Yeah, and what he's referring to is trying to read anything from DOJ. It's like reading stereo instructions in another language. It makes no sense whatsoever. And, it's just ridiculous.
It's three different languages. One of them is math, and I don't speak it.
And speaking of Brent from L.A., he's on. Hey, Brent, how are you?
Assault government DOJ gangster extorted gunslingers.
Brent, you've done it. You got me on board. Assault government. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you. What can we do for you, Brent?
Well, I was just calling to say, hey, I heard
you. Oh, thank you kindly.
And I was thinking, you know, the great Gorka was at the SHOT Show, along with his car gun buddy, Mr. Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, to promote safe and effective firearm ownership, we need to get together a gun gang of good guys who are all hip and cool, like the great Gorka, Ted Nugent, Kid Rock, Clint Eastwood, Gal Gadot of Wonder Woman fame, she's an IDF girl, and Leon Kaplan, of course you guys, but Alec Baldwin and Schwarzenegger, they're out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm in. I don't know if you get anybody else. I think Ted Nugent would show up, but I don't know about the rest of them.
Because I think Ted Nugent was at the show, too, as far as I'm sure.
If he usually is. If we had donuts, they'd come.
And I think if all of you guys could get together and be on each other's shows, I'd love you to invite all of them on yours, and you could be on theirs, and because you're a wonderful fit for each other.
Well, you know, I'd love to have any one of those on, and you know, we're always open to having guests. Problem is because, you know, we're just this little show out of L.A., even though we are getting syndicated, which starts, by the way, February 11th, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, we're going to be on here, San Diego, Phoenix, and let's see. Oh, San Diego, San Bernardino, and Phoenix. That's just going to be the start, and we're going to spread from there. But the problem is even, out in Vegas, now at Costa Mesa, we have hundreds of people. Oh, we love your show. But at the Vegas show, maybe two people.
Just out of reach?
Yeah, just out of reach.
Well,
and Vegas is one of the places we are definitely going to go.
Yeah, keeping that
fingers. We're just trying to find
a
Salem channel out there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'd love to, Brent.
Yeah, because, you know, it's just the promotion, I think, is so valuable, and just the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guns have got to be in, they got to be cool, and of course, they've got to be there's a purpose for them, you know, not only for protection, but for fun and for, you know, responsibility and a whole lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so insane what the government has done. I was recalling when I called you last time, I said my dad sold Enfields that they sporterized to Reading.
Mm-hmm.
He had no gun license. He had no badge. They didn't need no stinking badges or licenses in those days.
Nope.
There was no paperwork, and things were a hell of a lot safer before the government got involved, just like with everything else.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, in California, CNR guns, and that's pre-1964, or is it 74 now? I think it's 74. But most of your M1 carbines, M1 Garands and stuff, you used to be able to walk out with those up until 1998. And that's when a lot of stuff started changing. And there's the music. I love this song, by the way. Brent, we got to go. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening.
Good to hear you, Brent.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Take care. All right.
Not a big
fan of the guy, but this is a great song.
Hey, girls, your daddy home. Leave you all alone.
All right. Well, you're listening to Gunslingers right here on K.
R-L-E.
And we're going to be right back.
Tell me now, baby, is it good to you? And can you do to you the things that I do? Oh, no.
Hey, it's Jeff from Gunslinger's Gun Shop and Auctions again. If you want to buy, sell, or trade a firearm, come to Gunslinger Auctions in Azusa and the City of Orange. We've got fantastic selections of pistols, rifles, high-tech, and military firearms, plus skeet, trap, holsters, ammo by the box, reloading supplies, laser sights, and all the extras you're going to need. If you have a gun collection and you'd like to sell that for a big profit, go to GunslingerAuctions.com. Our staff has decades of experience in appraisals, consignments, antiques, and more, with honesty and unmatched customer service. Our next auction is on February 17th, where you can bid on outstanding pistols, rifles, art, and collectibles. In person, online, by phone, or with absentee bids. So, if you're buying, selling, or trading a firearm or gun collection, come to Gunslinger's Gun Shops in Azusa and the City of Orange, or visit GunslingerAuctions.com. Learn more about our huge gun auction, February 17th, at GunslingerAuctions.com. That's GunslingerAuctions.com. Again, GunslingerAuctions.com.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409. Well, I saved my pennies and I saved my dimes.
17, 18.
Welcome back to Gunslingers. Yeah, cut it quick. Welcome back to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And we're already in the last segment. Can you believe that? Fastest 2 hours on radio.
That was a good move.
Yeah, okay. So we covered the SHOT Show, we covered the antique show, we covered getting guests, we covered some cowboy action stuff. Let's get to the
Don't you have an auction coming up?
February 17th. Man. And we had some questions. That's why I wanted to get into this before we go. So what were the questions about? Well, we had a question about do you need to sign up online before you come to the auction? No. You can, if you want to bid online, then you do have to sign up online. If you want to bid in-house, which I highly recommend you do, it's much cheaper. You don't have to sign up online. You just come in day of. You don't have to pre-qualify or anything else. You just come in. You'll sign a contract that says if you bid on it, you bought it, and you will pay for it. Piece of cake. We don't take money in advance. Nope. You can sit there. Lots of folks come in. They just get my catalog and they keep score. What this means, lots of guys do this at gun auctions, and what they do is they'll write down under every gun what it's sold for, and then they go, oh, I got one of those for $200, and it's sold for $7.
Snicker, snicker, snicker.
And it's so comical because you know the ones that are doing it because they're the ones that come in, they get a catalog and a bidder number, and that hand never goes up. They just sit there and they're keeping score.
You know what? They're having fun.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, you know.
And then they're eating tacos.
It doesn't cost anything to come in.
Right. How much does it cost?
Nothing.
How about that?
Take a seat.
One of the questions we had today, one of the competitors today asked, how do I access the catalog? He'd like to see what's up. He'd like to see what's available.
Absolutely. It's very simple. Go to gunslingerauctions.com. That's gunslingerauctions.com. Just like the silly commercial, gunslingerauctions.com. And as soon as you get on, there'll be a little thing you can sign up so you can get emails from us. If you don't want to do that, just hit the X, and there's a box that says Bid Now. Click on there. It takes you to my catalog. There's about 750 lots with pictures and descriptions, and each gun gets anywhere from 10 to 30 pictures.
Now, if I click on the Bid Now, I don't have to bid.
No.
I just want to look at the catalog. Yeah. Everybody got that?
Yeah. You don't have to bid to do that. You just click on the Bid Now. It takes you to the catalog. If you want to sign up, you can sign up there. But it's much cheaper to buy from us than it is to buy online. So
and on top of that, if you can't be online and you can't – or you don't want to do the online and you can't make it into the actual auction house when we're having it – we also do sealed bids. You can do it by phone. Make sure you call in to one of the shops or stop in, and we'll go ahead and get all your information.
Yep.
Make sure you don't miss out on your favorite firearm in the catalog, and you get to save on that premium once again.
And then as far as in the old days, we used to bring all the guns to the auction, and we would hold them up in the air. Mm-hmm. If you go way back, we used to have girls that walked around with them. That got to be too much because it's a logistical
nightmare with 700 firearms.
And it's a tough job, and it was we could never get another one back.
Nope.
You know, they do it one time and we never see them
first
again.
First and last.
Yeah, so it got to be the point where we would do it ourselves or whatever. And
poor
even
Mike.
That, nobody is allowing us to bring guns anymore.
Nope.
So the Elks Lodge is nice enough to have us there, but we can't bring them. So they have something like 8 big screen TVs, and we finally got it figured out where we have every lot that comes up, we hit a button and the pictures come up and it'll rifle through the pictures of the gun each side and so on and so forth, and you can see them on big screens. Or
here's suppose I wanted to see them in person, Jeff.
That's where I was going. Baby. All you got to do is come on in. We're there Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 5, and Saturday, 10 to 4. Come on in. Everything that we have in that auction,
in that catalog,
is available for you to pick up and see in your hands.
Yeah, you don't have to. You pick out your favorites out of the catalog right now. If you just want to see them all back to back to back to back, you go into the
yeah. You can do that too.
Orange store
all day
there
if you want. The one thing, if you do want to see something, please bring in the lot number.
Yeah,
because guys will come in. Oh, I wanted to see a Smith and Wesson
something or other.
And you'd be a little more vague, please.
Yeah, and it's like, well, there's like 140 of them. Which one do you want to see? And you know, so that can get a little tedious. But if you know what it is, and you got get the lot number, and you know, come on in, and we'll put it right in your happy little
bring
hand.
Your list, bring your phone. Catalog's on the phone. If you just tag it on there, we'll go ahead and look it after you.
And okay. If you're after something specific, there's a search box. Go into the search box. Put it, you know, put Smith & Wesson Model 41 and any Smith & Wesson 41. I said that's because my favorite gun. It'll pop up and you can see it. And then you come in and say, hey, let me see lot number 329.
Yep.
And we'll pull it up.
You've got a particular caliber in mind. Go ahead and just put it in there. You can see them all.
There you go. Yep. A question for you. You have a cozy little firearms collection. What firearms in this auction do you find exciting or interesting?
Oh, man. There is some.
Give it 3 or 4.
Okay. Okay, there's some Krieghoff Lugers. These things are...
Why is a Krieghoff Luger different than a conventional POA?
Because cream of the crop is...
Listening?
Yeah. Krieghoff, it makes unbelievable stuff, and we've got a couple of them, and those are very interesting to me. Another one, and this one goes way back to the 1800s, we have the Boss Company used to make shotguns. They made a few double rifles, and we got one.
It's we had it at the antique show.
We sure did, and boy, did that get picked up a lot.
A lot. People are very excited to see.
People that know.
Yeah, these guys are well in the know, and they were like, "I've never seen one of these."
Wow.
Yeah,
and you got it.
Yeah, we do, and there's just all kinds of.
And
I mean,
beautiful condition too.
Yeah, and not everything is high end. You know, $50,000, $100,000 guns. We've got plenty of good old shooting irons. You want to go hunting? You want to go shotgun shooting? We've got over and under, side by sides. You name it. You know, just about everything for every type of collector. We've got it. Go to gunslingerauctions.com and be ready on the 17th. And if, again, you don't want to bid online and you're afraid you don't want to come into a big crowd, you can call us. We'll take your bids over the phone. You can be a phone bidder or you can be a sealed bidder. Now, how the sealed bidders work, it's just like eBay. You say, I want $500. Well, we don't start at $500.
Nope.
We start at wherever it ended up stopping at the internet. So if the internet bid it up to $250, all right, we got $250. Now we got $275. Anybody $300? Now you're in at $275. Mm-hmm. It stops there. You got it for $275.
So all you've done is put a cap on your maximum bid.
Yeah.
So you're safe. You're protecting yourself.
Correct. The only problem is if I got $500 now, five and a half, now you're done.
Now you're done.
So you don't get it.
But you're still in the dialogue, right?
Yeah. So
do you have any? I got asked a couple of questions. Obviously, cowboy match yesterday and today. And so the big questions are: do you have any Marlins?
Yes, we do.
Okay, that's
there you go.
We've got Marlin in multiple calibers, including the rarest of the rare, the Cowboy 32.
That is, you know, I was in on the development of that.
Were you?
Yep, that's a very rare.
Yeah.
That's a very rare.
Yeah, this is a Marlin 1894 Cowboy in 32 H&R Magnum. And they are
cool
super
caliber,
scarce. Yeah. And that's our friend Larry, Black Harris. That's his gun. He's decided that health issues and such. He's stepped out of the game, and he brought us a bunch of he brought us a pair of Colts, a pair of Vaqueros, a pair of different cowboy shooting stuff.
You're reading my mind. The other question was, do you have any Vaqueros?
Yes, we do. We've got several. So, you know, if you're just starting into the game. Oh, and we this got brought up also. Almost all of these guns are consigned to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what's the difference between consigned and used?
Well, consigned means we're selling them for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Those are still exempt from the one per 30 day.
Exactly.
So you can still, if you bought seven, you can still register them all at the same time under one $47 registration fee. And you don't have to, you can pick them all up in 10 days. You don't have to wait 30 days in between.
Between each person.
This is going away, guys. I don't know if it's July or if it's January 1st of next year, but this is not going to be happening much longer.
Yeah.
So you better get out and get her done while you can. All right.
So on top of that, so this auction's been full for months. May's our following auction, right? How full are we on that?
I'm pretty sure we're already done.
Jeez.
Okay, today, right? Yesterday, got home from Vegas. I got home at 3 o'clock. One of the guys from the shop had to bring me some stuff, so I had to be back by 4:30. Well, that's just enough time for me to do my 5 miles. So I got home. I changed real quick. I got on the road. I did a 5-mile walk. Got home. Got the stuff from the guy, blah, blah, blah. Got up this morning, and John and Annie. Oh, by the way, John, the best posse leader in the world. John Ringo, he was our posse leader today. They got me signed up for the match this morning, so I had to go
finished fifth overall, by the way.
No, third.
He finished fifth.
Oh, he did?
You finished third.
I got third, yeah.
He shoots. Way to go, Johnny. He shoots two-handed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So do you. Anyway, okay, and so did that, and I had to leave early because I had to be in Pomona to pick up a gun collection today at 1. Mm-hmm. Which they told me was going to be 20 or 30 guns. Okay, we got the first half of it, and it was 100. We have to go back to get more.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and they have a literal ton plus of ammo and all kinds of parts. So we're going to go back on Tuesday, I think, and try and get the rest of it. But holy cow. So
busy week.
This stuff is probably going to be hitting October.
Wow.
Yeah, so
I'm saying that we might have to put one in between.
Well... Leon sent me a text. He loves his music.
We always save one for him.
We always save the last song for Leon. So thank you, Leon. Appreciate it. We're probably already 200 lots into October.
October.
Jeez. Yeah, because May is pretty much
right, man.
Yeah, we are kicking rear and taking names, folks. We are doing so well. The move was just huge for us, and I became an overnight success after 26 years.
Hey, it happens to the best of them. Yeah. So if you want to get in your stuff, there's no better time than now. Better sooner than later, because you don't know how long you're going to wait until the next auction.
You know, our mailing list is over 10,000 people now, and that's just mailers. Mm-hmm. Our email list is something like 24,000, and that's just that. You know, we do the radio show. I advertise in multiple publications, you know, firearms publications. We get the word out, guys, and we sell stuff literally from South Africa to Alaska. And one other thing people always ask, I'm afraid if I sell it, it'll only get $5. That doesn't happen. Number one, I am the auctioneer. I know what things are worth. So that does not happen. This is not a Depression era fire sale auction,
you
know, where we sell things for pennies. No, this is a legitimate auction selling firearms, and we get top dollar for stuff.
Yeah, well, I'll save that for the next one.
Next time, man.
Okay, you can listen.
What are we doing next Sunday at 7?
We'll be right here at
KRLA.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Tell your friends. Let's get more people involved here.
Yeah.
And
jump on Rumble. Let everyone know on Rumble.
Let's get rid of that other face plant thing. All right, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Love you guys. Goodbye. God bless. Love you. Here we meet.
four-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.